A couple of things I need to warn you about this morning. You guys with me this morning? At some point in the service, I'm going to invite Stephen up, and he's going to share about what Devin has been, Devin's team of evangelists have been working in the schools in San Jose. He's going to share that a little bit, and I'll cue him in. He's in there in the class right now, but I wanted him to share it. Another warning is I had a moment this morning, and when the Lord spoke to me, and these are the best times, and I was feeling left out from the Lord for a moment there, for a little while, because I haven't had any of these shower moments. And when the Lord speaks to me in the shower, it's like, that's the best time. I get like these excellent revelations that are like, wow. And I was actually in the shower about a week ago, and I was asking the Lord, it's like, Lord, where are you at? Shower time is like my best time with you. And I had a shower moment with the Lord this morning. We're going to have a good time this morning. I want to share something that is super exciting to me, because it's actually something that beats really, really deep. And if I could say the heartbeat of God, this inside of me beats loudly, more than, I'm not going to say more than other truths, but this is a truth that beats really, really hard inside of me. It's about we as the body of Christ, as our duty, our calling, our purpose in the world that God has placed us. And God has placed us perfectly and precisely at this time and place where we're at right now. I don't know if I even get that, even though I say that a lot because I believe it to be 100% true. But I don't know if I really get it. Even though I know it's true, I don't know if I fully grasp the enormity of that truth, that God has perfectly and precisely placed you as a part of the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, in the world in which is in existence today. If we're God's sheep, right? We're God's sheep. What does that make this place? A sheep shed! Is it like... Why do we call it a church? It's really a sheep shed. I mean, isn't it funny? I was thinking of that. It's like, why do we call this place a church? And is it just because it's what we've always called it? It's like, isn't it really more just a sheep shed? Or a barn? Or a fold? Yeah. These are great pithies, if you will. It says, the church is the only organization that a person has to confess that he's been bad before he can join. It's true. And we are sinners because of who we are, born of corruptible seed, not because of what we do. And I'm going to share this too. It's better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. And that's like something that we've got to wrestle with a little bit, because some of our thoughts, our ideas... I heard Bill Johnson say this the other day, and it really struck me as like, that's a good point. So everybody has opinions. So, and some of us, we have really good opinions about issues and things and stuff of the Lord and stuff about the Bible stuff. But here's the thing is, we cannot, and I don't think we have any place in placing our opinion as of any value, because here's my thing is, unless my opinion doesn't line up with God's word and truth, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I think that's a confession. So sometimes our divisions and our disagreements we could even have, and our discussions, I think they could, as long as they're aiming towards truth, if they cause us to rub each other a little bit, that's okay. A worse error would be to say, let's agree in falsehood. And I don't think we want to do that. We're not a part of that. Hello? You guys with me on that for a second? Okay, good. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then sends us straight to hell. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. It is better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the crowd. So here's this, my shower moment. I warned you. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me this morning, and this is he said this. He said this, it's not your duty to point out sins in others. And the Holy Spirit said this, that's mine. I was like, wow. But it is your responsibility to call sin, sin, and then let me point out personally in people's lives. And then he kind of added, just like I do with you. I'm like, okay, all right. So I want us to really get this. New covenant believers are this. Listen to this. This is fantastic. This is another one of those moments. It wasn't in the shower, but it was a moment. New covenant believers are all in for all in. New covenant believers are all in for all in. That's excellent. That's a truth. You could tweet it, whatever you want to do with it, but that is a fantastic truth. New covenant believers, which is you, you profess to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've received Him. You've been born again of an incorruptible seed. You are now a new covenant believer. You walk by the new covenant. And what this entails is one of these truths that you have to grasp. You have to take hold of. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to do this, he will do this in you and through you, and He will like rub off stuff, if you will, chip things away that aren't a part of New Covenant thinking. New Covenant disciples are all in for all in. What does that mean? Now, let's talk about it. You guys want to know what that means? Anybody? Okay, good. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. I'm going to quoted at a New Living Translation, says, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." You guys hear what I'm saying there? Well, that what the Lord's saying there, that's Jesus. He's saying that. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Can anybody grab Stephen? Because I wanted him to share at this point with us what's been happening in San Jose this week. I confess to dropping the ball last week, not letting Devin come up and share what he was going to be a part of this week, because they've put on these rallies down in San Jose. Devin's team that most of you support through National School Projects, they've put on these a week-long set of rallies in multiple schools in the San Jose area. And what he's shared, he sent us this, he made this PowerPoint team. Can you dim the lights for just a smidge?
Okay, so Devin, of course, he works for and with NSP. Their goal is partnering with high school students and mentoring them and guiding them to putting on rallies and outreach weeks on campus, so on campus the gospel can be heard. And students on campus can actually come up and receive Jesus on campus, right there. It's an incredible thing. They understand the law and the legality of it also, but it's the students doing it. And Devin and his team gets the opportunity of partnering with the students and walking them through this process. I believe it was 7 schools all at once in the San Jose area did outreach weeks all week long. That means each school did 4 to 5 rallies all week, preaching and explaining and helping students understand the love of Jesus all week long on campus. Wow. Yeah, that's great. So he made up this PowerPoint for us. This is Lay High School. They had 150 in attendance, and 40 came down for altar call. They're actually having altar calls at the end of these during lunch. This isn't after school. This isn't before school. It's during lunch. So incredible. So that's Lay High School. And then we have Branham High School, 200 in attendance. 120 came down for altar call.
Hallelujah.
That 60% of the crowd just left the bleachers and responded to the call to accept Jesus and understand that. Okay, and then we got Valley Christian High School. At Christian High School, I saw this on Instagram I was going through. They did a rally at the Christian High School, and only 25% of Valley Christian High School students profess Christianity. That sounds a lot like Lincoln High. So over 150 students came, and 90% of them came down to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes. not just saying, I want Jesus, but saying, I want to be filled with His Spirit, and I want to operate in His Spirit on campus. So, I mean, they're doing what we're doing here on Sunday mornings. They took it to the campus during lunchtime. So incredible. And then we got Leland High. Leland High, 110 students heard the gospel. They ran out of time. So no altar call.
Planted.
Yeah. So no altar call, but I'm sure they had an impact equal to the other high schools. And then I'm assuming this is Yerba Buena. Am I saying that right? Yerba Buena High School. Over 200 students attended, and about 150 came down to altar call. You're seeing not just a couple students responding, but crowds of students, more students than are in this than adults in this room right now.
Amen.
Responding to these altar calls.
Amen.
And then let's see. I think we have. Oh yeah. And then so at the end of these outreach weeks, they do something really cool where they bring all of the clubs together that put these outreach weeks on, and they do a unite night of worship and prayer. And what they're doing is they're giving thanks and praise to the Lord for what He did on these campuses and in this area. And then His team is praying over these students and empowering them to continue spreading the gospel. Because what's incredible about what NSP does is they don't stop at the rallies. The biggest part of what they do actually happens after the rallies. And they push this incredibly well. And it's the follow-up. It's you responded to an altar call. Now we're going to connect with you as often as we can and get you plugged into a church body and get you discipled to the point now you next year may be a part of this Christian club, putting on rallies next year, seeing more students, more of your friends coming to the Lord. So it's a full circle thing. So we're not talking about just salvations, which is very important, but we're talking about potential discipleship and mentoring that's going on through these high school students, something that's not seen and not really spoken of very much, but is happening. So
Amen.
We got a few statistics that he wrapped it all up for us. So he's calling this a powerful missions trip, which it was. It was a missions trip right here in California. If any state needs it, our state needs it.
Amen.
How many rallies happened at the high school during lunch this week? Hold on, I'm having a little trouble. 12 rallies put on by Christian clubs. And how many students heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ at the rallies this week? Well, let's find out. I thought I saw 100 for a second. No, 1,190 students. 1,200 students? That's an incredible number.
Amen.
Yes.
Is the attendance voluntary?
The attendance is only voluntary.
100%.
It is only voluntary. It's 100% voluntary. The way that I've seen it done is they simply open the doors, and the doors for most of the rallies have to stay open. So it's voluntary to come in, and the students can leave at any point too. So yeah, it's voluntary. They simply say when it's happening, and students show up. So how many students indicated that Jesus made a change in their lives in some way this week? Anyone want to take any guesses? We saw, okay, well, I know the answer, so I'm not going to. Okay, so 513 students indicated that they started a relationship with Jesus or are rejuvenating one that they left behind years ago. So 513 students responding. That's just less than half. Half.
That's awesome.
I mean, if I can get two people in a room and at least one of them come up, or if I could get all this, and this half of the room responds to what's going on, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So I have a few thoughts about this. And we're praying for laborers, and I'm seeing the laborers coming from our youth, right? They're getting excited. They're getting on fire about this. Or I'm praying for laborers because without the laborers, this doesn't happen, right? If these students aren't being partnered with and aren't being said, hey, this can be done. Do you want to do it? And you have college age and above adults saying, hey, we want to partner with you and we want to see change on your campus. Do you want to do this? And they go after it. I am tempted to say that this doesn't happen unless a ministry like NSP is partnering with them and empowering them, encouraging them, and giving them resources and tools they need to do it, and saying, it is possible.
Amen.
Here's how it's
Amen.
Done.
Yeah.
Right? So you're wondering, why do we support Devin? This is why we support Devin. Why do we pump NSP? Because, well, this is a product of what's happening. 2 years ago, this wasn't happening in that area. So it's not like this is a repeat thing. This, I think, is the second year that's going on, and it's getting bigger and bigger. More schools are getting into this. San Jose is like It's like a new breeding ground, and it's just taking off like wildfire. The other thing we need to keep in mind is that the gospel still needs to be sent out.
Amen.
We live in a generation where we're connected to everyone almost at all times. And we forget that the verbal communication of the gospel is still vital in our day and age. Mm. We need to preach and communicate the truth to students about what's going on. And we need to communicate the love of Jesus. And that's what happened on campus in San Jose on 7 different campuses. And 513 students responded to that.
Hallelujah.
The way they said, yeah. I want Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So what are you going to do?
So the question is, and it has been, what is happening in Lincoln? See, when you're telling us about San Jose, you're telling us about Devin. Devin's not even here, and you're telling us about Devin.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in Lincoln? I believe, and before I go on, I'm going to say this, and I shared this. I meet on a monthly basis with the youth pastors in town. And I shared this with them. I said, I believe that the Lord's put on my heart to say that the way that the thing that's going to catch this generation is seeing unity amongst the churches and the body of believers. True unity only really happens under the name and banner of Jesus. Mm. It's what happens across denominational lines and across towns, and that's where unity comes in. And I believe that us as youth pastors of different churches coming from different backgrounds saying we believe in the same thing, we have the same exact goal, we're uniting under one Jesus.
Mm.
I think that is going to speak louder than anything else to this generation.
Mm.
So saying that, I've been partnering with them. We did a worship night in December, a very low-key worship night in December. We didn't really push it, but students showed up, and they really enjoyed it. Joey, you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Trevor, you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, yeah. I went to a worship night. I enjoyed it.
Good answer, Trevor.
Yeah. So now what we're doing is we see the exact same thing, that the laborers are in the youth. The youth are just, that's where the workforce is coming from. And so in April, we've been planning to put on a witnessing training day where we're going to gather up all of our youth groups into one building, and we're going to have a whole morning of encouraging and equipping our students to share the gospel on their campuses. I believe that their campus is theirs. Their friends are theirs, and those are theirs to spread and preach the love of Jesus to.
Amen.
And so I want to see, you know, youth pastors connected to the schools, but I want to see students sharing the gospel on their campus.
Mm.
So we're planning this witnessing training day a whole morning, and even I was sharing with Devin about this. He's like, dude, that is incredible what you guys are doing in Lincoln. As you youth pastors are working behind the scenes for all the students in Lincoln, equipping them and training them together, that's happening. So it's not just Stephen has this wild idea of doing something with his students. It's Stephen and these other youth groups and these other youth pastors who also love students are coming together to equip us all at one time. And we're doing it together. It's gonna be a great day.
Amen.
So what are we doing here in Lincoln? Well, we have the same goal in mind. We want to reach as many students as possible. We want to see 513 and more, and we want that to happen this
Amen.
Year, next year, and years to come.
Amen. Thank
so we enjoy partnering with Devin and NSP, and we enjoy, but it's not just Devin, NSP. The Lord is doing something.
Amen.
The Lord is moving. He's active. He has a plan, and we're a part of it, and our students are a part of it. They're a key role on it. When I look at Lincoln and I say, Lord, what's your plan for Lincoln? He says, these students are my plan for Lincoln. I want to see that campus change, and it happens through them, right?
Mm.
So I almost, with permission, I want to pray for our students here and the students
Amen.
In Lincoln. So, Father, you guys join me. Mm. Father, we thank you for what you're doing all over the place. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to partner with Devin and NSP and encourage them in what they're doing. Mm. And we get to hear about your wonderful work in San Jose. And we thank you, Father, for giving us your guidance, your lead, your word for Lincoln as well. And I ask, Father, that you anoint students in our youth groups to go on our campuses and spread your name, to spread your love, to demonstrate what it is we're so excited about. I pray for souls on campuses. I pray that you're using our students on campuses. I thank you, Father, that you see them as a workforce. You see them as the laborers there to go out for the harvest. We thank you, Father, for working through us, for choosing us, for having a plan for this city, and allowing us to partner with you, Father. Continue to work through us. Continue to show us where we are to step in and what our role is in this grand plan you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I'm moved right now by the Lord. I don't know where we're going to go from here on out, so I might as well just toss this out. But the Lord wants to do something. He wants to say something, some more things. And thank you, Stephen, for sharing that. So much appreciate that. Yeah, it's obvious that God has anointed and called that young man to for this time, this specific, precise time and place. Yeah. Oh, we're so blessed. We're so. I would say, I would even go on the edge and say we're lucky to have him. Can I say that? I probably shouldn't. I know. The Lord wants to say a couple more things. And so listen, just join in with me on this as we just allow the Lord to do this. Is there's a real devil, and what he wants to do to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy, he is not asleep. It is not time for the church to just lay silently and quietly, because he's not asleep. We are not asleep. We are not asleep. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And what he means for evil, God is going to take. And take that which he means for evil and transform it and move it into that which is propelling his people to be his people. And he's going to turn it for good. It's not quiet right now in our school systems. The schools are up in arms. They are in disarray. Our schools right now are a target of the enemy. Amen. Right? We know this. And God has established and is establishing and moving God's people, young people, into places of authority and positions of just precise seed planters and restorers. And to where Devin, he said, Dad, have I ever had to meet with principals. Principals don't really give a rip what the students are doing. Now I've had to meet, in all these schools, I had to meet with two principals because they want to know who is coming into their schools. And they're glad, they're excited, they're inviting us, they're wanting us to come into their schools because they know that their students, they need an answer. They need an answer. And some of them, whether they're Christian, Catholic or not, one of the principals was a Catholic. He said that he knew that this was the answer. The gospel is the answer. The good news to these young people is the answer. And God is establishing young people to preach and share the good news to their peers. Hallelujah. Isn't this exciting? This is like, God's people, we need to be all in for all in. No, listen to that. I know, and so where I want us to take that is I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to really move you into a place of what that means, all in for all in. In other words, you know, I need to be all in that all are accepted, all are invited into the kingdom. You guys hear me on that? All are invited. There is no place for exclusion. And there isn't even this place for only a few are included. It's only for all are invited. The last time I read John 3:16, it said, "For God so loved the world that," what's the word, next word? "That whosoever," whosoever, whosoever, And that's kind of like everybody. Whosoever. That's awesome. And that's what we need to be about this morning. If we allow the Holy... These were some really good notes, too. All right, I'll just keep going. And if the Lord interrupts me, that's a good thing. Let me a passage of scripture, and it's kind of a long one. I'm going to read it out of the I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It's in Romans chapter 15. And there's a couple of verses in here that I'm going to highlight, but we need to read this whole whole passage. So listen to this. It says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, 'The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me.' Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus." Man, I want to stop in a bunch of places, but I can't. I must go. It says, "Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, 'For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name.' In another place it is written, 'Rejoice with this people, you Gentiles.' And yet again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth.' And another place Isaiah said, 'The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles, and they will place their hope in him.'" I want you, there's four things that God did, that Paul does there. He starts off with the Gentiles as a basically non-Jewish people. And then he starts narrowing it down. Listen to this. He starts narrowing it down to not just a non-Jewish people, because he came to save the Jews first and then the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were included in that salvation. Hello? That's a good place to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because I be Gentile, and I think everybody here is too. Just non-Jew, that's all that means. But it means all people. And then he narrows it down to a people. And then he refers to us as a people group. I like that, because then he starts getting a little closer to me. Hello? Gentile is vague. It's broad. It's a massive stroke but people, it's like, okay, now it's narrowing it down. And there's people groups. And then he gets into, now he says, he refers to a hope. They will place their hope. Hope is very personal to me, because hope is what drives me. Hope is what inspires me. Hope is what moves me. Hello? You all can know this. You know this. Where hope is actually crushed when our personal hope for something better and more than this is crushed, we become crushed. Actually, the Bible says that where hope is deferred, where hope is, it makes the heart sick. It actually becomes not just, and that's not just like I'm sad. It actually sickens the entire soul, to where our soul becomes almost like nothing left. So you guys following with me that this is like he's narrowing it down to God is intentional about reaching each and every one of us and instilling within us and giving us hope, each and every one of us. So it's all in for all in. You know, God gave you a moment to have hope in him, and you said yes. Everybody who's here said yes to Jesus. And if you haven't, that's okay. We're going to get you to say yes this morning. Because we're going to make Jesus so attractive that you're going to have to say, I got to say yes to this Jesus. Man, this is exciting stuff. I'm going to move on. So I don't know where I left off. Verse 13. Yeah. And he says, because I'm going to read all the way through verse 21, I think. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. You trust in Him. And then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other about them. Even so, I have been told enough to write about some of these points, knowing that that all you need is a little reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to the Gentile, to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I am working among them. For they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news, where the name of Christ has never been heard. Rather than where a church has already been started by someone else, I have been following this plan spoken of in Scripture, where it says, those who have never been told about Him will see, and those who have never heard of Him will understand. I'm going to tell you, and I believe this to be 100% of truth, is that there are people in your life who have never heard and never received and never understand. The mantra, of NSP is until every student has heard. I believe that our thinking as New Covenant believers needs to be in line with this. Till everyone has heard. In Matthew 24, where I quoted, it says, "In when the gospel is preached to all the world, then the end will come." John Piper was sharing this in referring to every tribe and language and people in Revelation 5, verses 5 and chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says this. So I'm going to go to John Piper's quote after I read Revelation. So listen to this. He says, "And they sang a new song with these words, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on earth.'" Hallelujah. That's in Revelation, and that's what he's seeing is this is Jesus being presented as the Lamb of God. And this is something that the saints were singing, they were rejoicing in that Jesus has redeemed every people. listen to this. This is kind of funny because it's like it's where we're at right now. I don't know if I can pronounce this correctly. It says, when the Lausanne Congress on World Evangelism, I probably butchered that, gathered in Switzerland in 1974, it's a long, long time ago, but this is where we're at now because of what happened here. It says, the global participants congratulated themselves, pat themselves on the back, that the Christian church was now in every country of the world. 196 to be exact. Until Ralph Winter stood up and he popped the balloon with a statistic that says there's over 17,000 people groups in those countries. Over 17,000 people groups in those countries. And what's worse, he said 90% of the missionary force is working among 10% of the people who have already been reached. In other words, there's still a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people that still need to hear the gospel. And it's all in for all in. That's new covenant thinking. That gets you out of yourself, doesn't it? It starts making you think, man, how can I partner with and be a part of something that God is doing that's making an impact in the world and in my world and in my life? And the world missions has never been the same since. The landscape, we've come to such great lengths in organizations such as Campus Crusade. They are coming out of that, which is NSP is a cousin of Campus Crusade, if I could say that correctly, because they had the same mantra fits for them. Until everyone is heard, preaching the gospel. That's where we get like these tracts such as Four Spiritual Laws and stuff like that. Is from their working, is just really just presenting the gospel as simple and precisely so that people can make a choice. Amen? And that's what we need to be about. So here's where I believe God is taking us this morning in an understanding of this, because I think this is something that if we're not careful, Jesus said, in fact, he even warned us, he said, take heed, be warned against a leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And that's in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Take heed, beware of a leaven of the Pharisees and then of Herod. I've heard people say these things, and I've heard actually Christians say a phrase such as this. Said the problem with today's world is that parents just aren't raising their kids right. And I've always had to stop and say, well, I didn't actually say this to the person that said that. I really wanted to. Oh, man. I just confessed to being a coward. I confess. I'm sorry. I need to take a seat on that one. Oh, you know, you just stop and you say, well, where's your kids at? But here's the problem. David, go ahead. Go ahead. Well, thank you, brother. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, but here's where what I wanted to get to with that. Didn't realize I was confessing something as I was sharing that, but I did as I shared it. It's crazy in my head. Yeah, please. Stay far away if you can. I just told everybody just stay away from here. That's so crazy. Oh my goodness. Let's go. I want us to be careful, because as Stephen was sharing that, I don't know if you noticed that the same thing that it's beats inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit says this, Jesus is the answer. Doing things this way or that way are not the answer. Now, when Jesus gets in the mix of all that you do, then yes, you're going to do things Jesus' way. You are going to do things the way of Jesus. Hello? Hello? You know, but if we focus on, I believe, doing things this way or that way, I believe that if we're not careful, it is a leaven that is of the Pharisees and that of Herod. What's the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod? It is a leaven that is more concerned about what people think about you than what God knows about you. In other words, it's a leaven that works in there that says, I've got to present myself as a certain way so that people see me as a certain way, and disregarding what God already knows you as, and he's speaking to you as, and he's convicting you of being, and you ignore that, and you're more concerned about what people think about you. Hello? That is a leaven that can sneak in there. And if we're not careful, we'll make that front and center. And because a leaven is this, it just takes a tiny bit to influence and infect the entire lump. Lump. I know, huh? I did. Good Stephen's not in here. Stephen in here?
Yeah, he's here. He's got his eye on you.
Oh, dang it. I thought I could. Dang it. I was teasing him yesterday, and I said, Stephen, I had this thought the other day. Now I got to share it because it's like I already busted it out. It's like, man, if I can go through my whole life without Stephen calling me a lump, I will have succeeded in life. It's a goal. It's I got to start small, you know. It is. And then actually that's kind of 11, if you will. That's not of the Lord. So let me finish up because I got one last page. Basically a lump or a lump. 11 can be identified by this is whether you are inclusive or exclusive. In other words, it's all in, but not for all in. How about this? And let me give you a little identifier, if you will. And I'm at this. If you allow me to, and allow the Holy Spirit to do this, well, I could take you to different places that I think you might. It might rub you a little bit gritty. Does the truth of God offend you that He is not a respecter of persons? Does that offend you? And be honest about it, huh? Okay. If there's a leaven of Pharisee or a leaven of Herod that's just got a small smidge of influence in you, the truth that God is not an offender, a respecter of persons, will offend you. Just think about it. Well, what does that mean? Because Jesus was not a respecter of persons, and He offended the Pharisees. He offended Herod. And Jesus Himself said, be careful, take heed against that leaven. All scripturally pointed out to you. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 15, he says, then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. And so they sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. Teacher, they said, we know that you are honest. I almost think, listen to this, for you teach the way of God truthfully, and you are not impartial, and you don't play favorites. I almost, if you will, if you could just go with me there for a second. These guys, they went to trap Jesus. They had a motive and intent to trap him into something that he would say, and they went to speak, and it's almost like I could see this happening. This came out of their mouth. They probably looked at each other, why did you just say that? Did you just hear what you just said? You know, they looked at each other. I know that it had to happen because it's like they're just professing right now that he is one that they actually admire to be like. Listen to that statement. They said, we know that you're an honest. You're honest and you teach the way of God truthfully. And you are impartial and you don't play favorites. Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus knew their evil motives and he called them hypocrites. Said, why are you trying to trap me? And that's where you get the phrase, give to Caesar that which is Caesar and to God that which is God's. See, that offends Herod. That offends the political spirit. Oh, did I just say that? The spirit, the leaven of Herod, is a political spirit. Okay, did you guys hear where I went for 1 minute? You got to give permission for the Holy Spirit to take you there. All in for all in. It even means people that disagree with you on political issues. Got quiet. Not those people. I mean the drunks, the drug addicts. Oh yeah, we want them because God loves them. You know, they're all broken and messed up and screwed up, and that's who God really loves. But the liberals? Whoa, wait a second. Let me share a passage of scripture to you. And we're going to go everywhere with this. Let the Holy Spirit take you everywhere with this. Everywhere. It wasn't until the new covenant believers stepped into play that actually women were counted. Women weren't counted until the book of Acts. I don't know if anybody realized that or not. They weren't even identified as worthy to be counted until the book of Acts. That's even in Jesus' ministry. That's why it was so outrageous that he was talking to a woman. Like you didn't matter. You didn't matter. Not just as a census, but you didn't matter. No, I'm serious. New covenant thinking includes all in for all in. And women are in a place now because of the blood of Christ who died for my sins and your sins, all of our sins. He's leveled the playing field. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I mean, if you want to go there, we could go all the way back to the garden. And you could say, well, women, if you want to say women aren't in a place, they really don't matter. They're not in a place of authority. Well, it's so simple to just look at it. It's like, well, who did Satan go to trick? Because, right? It was the woman, right? And you may say, well, that's because she was easily deceived. Yeah, doesn't the Bible tell us that she was easily deceived, so he went to her. It's like, well, then who did, if you have to go there, then who did the woman influence? Hello? Yeah. It was the guy, and his name was Adam, and he was the first Adam. I'm just laying it out there to say this. New covenant levels of thinking. New covenant levels the playing field to where all have access to the throne of God through his son Jesus. Amen. Amen? And I'm dear friends with pastors that they've like, nope, women are not to be in leadership and not to be in any sort of role in the church. And I'm like, oh. I love you, brother, but, well, correct, incorrect. Let me go on, and I'm going to read this last passage of Scripture, and because I think it states it in this. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, says this, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." "And he himself is the propitiation for all, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the whole world." Do you guys hear what he's saying there? It kind of goes back to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think if we can, and just kind of just hone this in really fast, because I believe that God wants to do this, is the church's duties and responsibilities, ours as Christians, as believers, New Covenant disciples, is to speak the truth in love and let God the Holy Spirit do the work. And it's such a good work. It's the work that he's done in you and is doing in you. Let him do that work in others. And if we are, if you will, faithful to follow God's lead in this, we will present to the world, a lost and dying world, a Jesus the Jesus, the righteous, who is our advocate for our sin, for my sin. I've got to identify sin as sin. I've got to call it sin. I've got to label it as sin. I've got to say sin is sin. But I'm not going to call your sin. I'm going to call sin, sin. And let God the Holy Spirit tell you and love you right where you're at. I've got to let that happen. I've got to be free to do that. Don't you hope that people will give that freedom to you? Let's do that for others and make Jesus so attractive. God is so glorified when Jesus is lifted up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hello? Yeah. That's awesome. And when we just simply just trust Him to do that, instead of feeling like we gotta, you know, there's so many places in my mind that I could go with that. I've allowed leavens of to sneak in and focus on some of the wrong things. We've got to come clean with that. And we've got to just let God the Holy Spirit do the work that He's doing in not just your life, but in others' lives. And be all in for all in. Amen. Amen. I mean, there's a lot more to be said, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak the rest of it to you. Just like I just preached. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, by Your Spirit, we just thank You. Thank You that You are so, so alive. And as we gear up for Resurrection Sunday, as we love to just share the truth, the truth, not just a truth that I believe, but it's a historical fact that You rose from the dead and have defeated our foe, our enemy. And because of that very truth, that when we confess You to be Lord and we believe in our heart that You are raised from the dead, that You are alive inside of us and we are born again of an incorruptible seed. And that seed is taking root and it's growing down into the depths of my soul so that it can produce the fruit of Your Spirit. We give You permission to do that. And I give You permission, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask every one of you to align yourselves with this prayer. I give You permission, Holy Spirit, to convict me of my favoritism. Convict me in the areas of my life where I am a respecter of persons. And I humbly just confess and surrender to saying, Jesus, Jesus, may I see people as You see them. I'm so grateful that You saw me as lost and worthy to be saved. I didn't have any answers. Not only did I have wrong answers, I had no answers for life until You showed Yourself up in my life. So I'm asking You to use me to present You, Jesus, to others that are lost and confused and decaying and dying. And so they're weird, but hello, so was I. Still am a little weird.
Amen.
Thank You, Jesus, that You love us right where we're at. And You love others right where You're at. And that's Your intent. You are intent on bringing other sheep into this sheep shed. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.